When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Superbeats by Human wants to get your cardiovascular system back in rhythm. Did you know that the top health benefit that Americans want from their food or nutrients is cardiovascular health? But 38% feel confused about what to eat to achieve goals. Superbeats is a highly concentrated, scientifically formulated solution that supports healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. According to a recent announcement by the American Heart Association, 48% of Americans have some form of serious cardiovascular health issue, and 39% have unhealthy blood pressure. Superbeats helps boost your nitric oxide level, which is critical to healthy blood pressure levels and cardiovascular health. Try Superbeats risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeats.com to get this special offer. You'll even get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats with your first order at danasbeats.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617 now and get your heart moving to Superbeats.
Keep your eye on the whole landscape as it is moving forward. And I think it's also critical to understand that, as I've been telling candidates who have come to see me, you can run the best campaign, you can even become the nominee, and you can have the election stolen from you. Nothing to do with the economy, does it?
See, this is the stuff that undermines people's faith in elections. She's mad because she lost. She's never gotten over it. And we are having to deal with the fallout of it. And this active undermining, this active whatever this is that she is doing. And frankly, it encourages people to this lack of faith in our system. She lost because she was a horrible candidate. It's not that anybody was in any way trying to rob her of anything. In fact, it was the opposite. There's so much proof in there that she was the individual who was working, conspiring with a foreign entity, and it's never been answered. And she was doing it with the awareness and permission of the previous administration to do this. This is the individual who tried to rob and steal an election. And she failed, so she wants to do this woe is me thing. You know what? And welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. The thing about this that I find really reprehensible is that she has had it built up in her head that this was a destiny. You know, this reminded me of season 8, episode 4 of Game of Thrones last night when, and there's no, just, you should have watched it. Varys was explaining to Tyrion when they were talking about whether or not Daenerys should actually be on the Iron Throne. And they were saying, well, she believes, you know, it's her destiny. And Varys was saying, yeah, you know, I can imagine somebody who walks in, you know, with a fire, into a fire with 3 dragon eggs and walks out. And of course, you know, I'm going to tie this to Game of Thrones. And walks out that this isn't, you know, that they believe that they are, this is their destiny to lead. And he says, all tyrants say that. All tyrants say that it is their, that they believe it is their destiny. They believe that this is the time for them. And he says, well, shouldn't we want someone who doesn't want the throne, who doesn't want to rule? And I just thought, gosh, that describes, I mean, I did. I actually thought that actually describes Hillary Clinton right now because, well, forever, because this is the woman who had it built up in her head that she was going to be the first woman president. She was going to be the one that went down in the history books as the first woman. And she was pushed aside in 2008 because America and the Democrat Party, they wanted the first black president. more than they wanted the first woman president. And she didn't help herself because she's such an unappealing, and I say this in terms of policy and her countenance in general, unattractive candidate and person. She's mean. She's the opposite of what people look for when they see a strong woman. Women like Hillary Clinton think that in order to be strong, they have to be entirely unfeeling and they have to reject the societal norms of perceived femininity in terms of being nurturing and having that sort of persona. And she blames it all on society, but that's really her. She's ambitious to the point of ruthlessness. That's the most dangerous thing about her. And she didn't do herself any favors, just like she didn't do herself any favors in the 90s when she just about side-railed her husband's campaign when she was going on and on over how she didn't want to just be a housewife because she didn't want to stay home and bake cookies and have teas. That's actually what she said. And all the women, they revolted in the 90s. And Bill had to do a lot of damage control because his wife was a liability. Usually wives are an asset in a campaign. Spouses are supposed to be seen as an asset. She was a liability. And by herself, she was even a bigger liability, just herself as a candidate. She was a horrible candidate that had no clear policy, definitely had no clear policy that had been successful in recent times. She was completely ineffective in the Senate. She was disastrous as Secretary of State. And this is a woman who thought it was her destiny. She's the individual. She's the woman who's going to be, for all the discussion and social justice warriorism of not judging people by gender, it's so amazing to me how there's an entire movement based around gender, and they also want to have the first something based on gender, which is, again, so asinine to me. She was a horrible candidate. And it's sad that she was one of the first serious female candidates for the presidency, because she's not a strong woman. I don't believe that she is. I don't believe that strong women have to lie and smear and work with a foreign entity to try to steal an election and make unfair the campaign ground in order to be successful. I mean, that's the whole point of it. She did herself in. She didn't even visit some of the states where she really needed to win. And she wants to blame it on theft. It's insane. I just wish they were saying this while they were on their Bill and Hill tour, something like that. They're going to it's the evening with the Clintons. People are actually paying them to do this. So yeah, the ticket prices are $2. On StubHub they were going for the bottom fell out. I think the priciest ones are they were $2. Yeah. You can't make this stuff up. I think, what is it? Some of the expensive seats are like 15 or something insane. Yeah. Nobody wants to go see them because some of us have grown up with our entire lives of them traveling around the country and doing this kind of stuff. We're done with it. Stop it. No one wants to hear from you unless you're talking about your email scandal or why you decided to get involved in Libya. And if you were gun running to rebels, nobody cares. If you're not going to talk about any of the important stuff that people wanted to hear about, nobody cares. Go away. There's no benefit to our culture and society hearing people sit here and, oh, well, I'm going to blame everyone else for my ineffectualness as a candidate. That's just exactly where it is. So Joe Biden, of course, he came up with a nickname for Donald Trump, which we're going to get into. And he had a couple of slips as well. We're going to touch on that. Audio Soundbite 7, Jim Jordan was talking about the real obstruction of justice because all weekend Democrats were just taking shots at William Barr, who voluntarily went and testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And when the House Judiciary Committee tried to flex too hard, he was like, I have no obligation to do this at all whatsoever for you people. And he split. And everyone, they kept trying to say that, oh, it was because he was a chicken. And the guy, what was his name, Representative Scullett?
Cohen.
Thank you. I only know him by the Scullett. The, you know what, real quick thing. You know what his hair reminds me of? My mom gets she gets the big Yankee candles, and she puts these jewel necklaces on them. She bought one for me once. She was like, you might want to put this around your candles. And I'm like, I can't believe people do this. But there are these things that you put around the candle and they're completely open on the top. And the way it sits over the candle, that's a skullet. It's a candle skullet, but a skullet nonetheless. Now that you're familiar with it. So this is Audio Soundbite 7, Jim Jordan talking about the real obstruction of justice and what Democrats are trying to do to Barr. Listen.
So I think they're nervous about Bill Barr, because remember what he said 3 weeks ago in front of the Senate Finance Committee. He made four important points. First of all, he said spying did in fact take place. Second, he said there is a basis for his concern that the spying wasn't properly predicated. Third, he said there was a failure of leadership at the upper echelon of the FBI. We know that's for sure. Comey, McCabe, Baker, Strzok, Page. We know there was a failure of leadership there. And then fourth, he used two terms that I've never really heard before, and my guess is most Americans haven't. He used the term unauthorized surveillance, and he used the term political surveillance. So the Democrats are scared. And frankly, I think when we're talking about obstruction of justice, the real obstruction of justice is what Democrats are trying to do to the attorney general. They're trying to stop him by all these things, this contempt and not having him come testify. They're trying to stop him from getting the answers that we just talked about.
Yeah, well, that's completely it. Absolutely. That is completely it. And he's right there. I think the whole point of this, and I think this sort of investigation and this abuse of power has gone on for years. And one of the reasons that maybe perhaps people were so uniquely dead set against somebody like Trump getting in the White House is because they didn't want anyone to talk about it. I mean, Trump was never supposed to win. They did everything possible to make sure he wasn't going to win. If you want to have a discussion as to an erosion of faith in our electoral system, look at the individuals that were actively trying to undermine it. They did not expect Trump to win. He wasn't supposed to win. None of this was ever supposed to be made public, which also raises the interesting question as to how often this has happened. I mean, we found out because some people were sloppy. How often has this happened? Has this ever happened at the state level? Has it ever happened with maybe some federal Senate races or House races? I can't imagine this being the first time that something like this has happened. And perhaps that's why they were really dead set against somebody like Trump getting in the White House, because he wasn't supposed to win. They were trying to protect their ability to balance or to determine who was going to be where. Yeah, freedom indeed, huh? Freedom indeed. We're going to talk more about that. We also have some discussions as to how they're talking about impeaching Barr, although Al Green, and not the good one, audio soundbite 25, he has a moment, a rare moment of somewhat honesty. Listen.
You've been calling for starting articles of impeachment since 2017, but a new Quinnipiac poll taken after the release of the redacted Mueller report found that 66% say Congress should not start impeachment proceedings. And there's a sharp partisan divide, as we all know, with only 4% of Republicans favoring impeachment. Congressman, are you concerned that impeachment talk may actually help the president's reelection?
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected. If we don't impeach him, he will say he has been vindicated. He will say the Democrats had an overwhelming majority in the House and they didn't take up impeachment. He will say that we had a constitutional duty to do it if it was there and we didn't. He will say that he has been vindicated. But here's what I say. We're confronting a constitutional crisis as I speak to you. As I look the people of America in the eye, I'm telling you, we have a constitutional crisis.
Yeah. Well,
they want to be impeached so they don't have a competitor in 2020. That's literally what he said.
Yeah. Honesty. I don't even know how to really. There's nothing I can add to this. There's nothing I can add to this. It's like when NBC or MSNBC had the guy on who said that, look, in Venezuela, only the cops have guns. They have these rare. Our military has guns. They have these rare moments of honesty where I'm almost kind of taken aback. I read the transcript of that earlier this morning, and I thought that's kind of what we figured. They want an open field. They don't want to have to be challenged. Because if you don't have anything to, if you have no way to meet criticism and disprove it with any kind of substance, it's kind of difficult to do. You're not going to be able to impeach. That's the whole body. It's not going to happen. We have more to touch on coming up. Oh, we got some crazy stuff coming up. So Joe Biden says he doesn't have time to give details on his health care plan. Oh, that's nice. And he comes up with a nickname for Trump, but it's not good. I don't think he understands what nicknames are. Because that's not. Oh, and then he doesn't know who rules Britain. that's some fun stuff. And then he wants to tell you a story about the time he met some people from the hood. Literally what he says. So we have that. Democrats want to jail you for owning semi-automatic firearms. Oh, we got a bunch of new Democrats out there trying to out-gun control each other. We'll have that. We'll also discuss some foreign policy stuff, including everything that was happening over between Gaza and Israel. And Ilhan Omar, of course, she defends the terrorists that are raining rockets on Israel. We have that. And we have a ton of other things to touch on as well. Kel-Tec is a great company based in Florida that make really cool guns. They make some really cool stuff. And you should definitely go and check them out. It's a privately owned company. They have an all-American story, by the way, with George Kellgren legally immigrating to the United States, becoming a citizen, starting this company, and making really cool things like the CP-33 or the KS-7. The CP-33 is a 22LR. It's CP stands for competition pistol. 33, well, because there's 33 rounds in each magazine, and it ships with two of them, which is awesome. That's standard capacity, folks. That's not high capacity. And I really want people to have the argument about high capacity, particularly when I look at some of these stories where it's multiple people who are invading a home, and it's a woman who has to rely on her standard capacity magazine in order to defend herself and her family. I talk about these stories and tweet them out every single day. So it's fun to shoot, actually. It's ambidextrous, so it's really fun to take to the range and, you know, have some competitions, and while at the same time honing your skills on target acquisition. Sometimes I swear it makes me feel more accurate. But it has it's awesome stuff. Threaded barrel, adjustable fiber optic sights, long sight radius, M-lock slot on the dust cover so you can mount a light. That's awesome. Check out everything that they have at Kel-Tec Weapons. KelTecWeapons.com, KELTEC, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you. Superbeats by Human wants to get your cardiovascular system back in rhythm. Did you know that the top health benefit that Americans want from their food or nutrients is cardiovascular health? But 38% feel confused about what to eat to achieve goals. Superbeats is a highly concentrated, scientifically formulated solution that supports healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. According to a recent announcement by the American Heart Association, 48% of Americans have some form of serious cardiovascular health issue, and 39% have unhealthy blood pressure. Superbeats helps boost your nitric oxide level, which is critical to healthy blood pressure levels and cardiovascular health. Try Superbeats risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeats.com to get this special offer. You'll even get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats with your first order at danasbeats.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617 now and get your heart moving to Superbeats.
Broadcasting from the Lone Star State to your town.
The Dana Show.
At D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Let's go ahead and kick it into some quick five, shall we?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's quick five.
A study concludes that universal basic income doesn't work because it's a stupid idea and people should just get off their asses and make their own money instead of sucking at the teat of the public. Well, that's, you know, not really how they publish their findings, but that's really what it should be. It was a study of the trials that include making cash payments to all. They say it's no solution to poverty and inequality. Wow. Yeah. It was published over at World PSI, and it completely just debunked all the claims made for universal basic income. It doesn't do any of the things that it claims that it will achieve. Yeah. Well, I think we all could have told you that. Kim Jong-un, the crazy short fat kid down there, he tested a new missile. And, of course, obviously, probably the administration's patience. North Korea tested a new short-range missile. The test early Saturday was quickly played down by Trump and his advisors. They said it wasn't the kind of long-range missile that he has that he's done previously. However, I would imagine South Korea is still keeping an eye on it. South Korea reportedly reported the military reported that the various projectiles flew from 70 to 240 kilometers before splashing into the Pacific. Anyway, they've been, well, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, this, I believe in limitations to courtesy. That's just me. There is a, it's going back and forth. Bob Mueller is expected to testify. There's word that he's going to testify on May 15th, but then I've also read just two stories this morning that say he is actually not going to testify. Not on May 15th or ever. So that would be next week. We'll kind of have to wait and see whether or not, but it came from a couple of different sources, including the Washington Post, whether or not Bob Mueller would testify. We have a lot more to discuss. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us.
This portion of the Dana Show podcast is proudly brought to you by Liberal Tears Coffee and Liberal Tears Bacon Scented Gun Oil. Go to liberaltears.net/Dana. A percentage of every dollar you spend on Liberal Tears goes to fight unconstitutional gun laws. Which gun laws? All of them.
Follow along on Twitter at DLash.
And official Dana Lash on Facebook.
Your competitor in the 2020 race, Congressman Eric Swalwell, has also, like you, proposed an assault weapons ban. But he's proposing a buyback program where Americans who currently have those guns could sell them, essentially, to the government. But if they don't, within a certain period of time, they would be prosecuted, so subject to be thrown in jail, perhaps. Are you supportive of the same measure?
Well, first of all, when I was mayor of the city of Newark, again, I have a record on dealing with gun violence. We did a lot of gun buybacks and even other creative ideas that I think we should have when I'm president of the United States. The critical thing is, I think most Americans agree that these weapons of war should not be on our streets.
But, again, but would you prosecute people? Do you support the government buying them back? And if not, potentially people could go to jail if they don't want to sell them back. Yes or no?
Again, we should have a law that bans these weapons, and we should have a reasonable period in which people can turn in these weapons. Right now, we have a nation that allows, in streets and communities like mine, these weapons that should not exist.
What?
But you didn't answer.
Yeah, he didn't, like, answer. I mean, he didn't answer any of it. That's not... That's Cory Booker, by the way. He was talking about a potential, maybe, kind of... he's running for office, but he... What is he even polling at? I don't know. Is he even a 1%? Because I don't even think he came up when I looked at it. Anyway, that's not the point. But I'm just... I'm like, why the hell is he talking? I just... Why? So, he and others, they are totally fine with basically... not basically, they want to jail you for owning semi-automatic weapons. Can we also seriously stop with this whole weapons of war BS? When I hear people say that, it's almost as if they put a sandwich board over their head that says I'm stupid on front and back. I'm stupid on the front, and I know redacted about firearm law on the back, right? Because that's basically what it is, or firearms. Military members in service carry semi-automatic pistols too. So what you're saying by saying weapon of war is you're calling for everything to be banned, and that's ultimately what they're doing. But they think that you're too stupid to catch on to it. But the problem is that they have no idea about how firearms work or anything about gun law. So that it doesn't, their attempt to try to out clever you doesn't work so well. I mean, the bottom line is that these are individuals who are him and Eric Swalwell. When they call for this stuff, he's using the term weapons of war, and this is an all-out ban. Furthermore, do you know how many law-abiding gun owners there are in the United States? What Cory Booker is talking about, he and Eric Swalwell, are increasing the prison population by millions. They are celebrating their desire to increase the prison population by millions. Simply by saying that owning an inanimate object that was up until, heaven forbid, hell freezes over and they're elected, the point where they would assume office was illegal to own, you instantly became a felon. So they're going to go door to door? How does this work exactly? I want one of these cats to explain to me how this confiscation and jailing scheme is going to work. You're going to go door to door and confiscate everything? These are the same people... During the whole immigration discussion over deportation, which I don't think you're going to, I think that's a dumb argument. I'm not one for the deportation argument because it's impossible. But these individuals thought it was definitely impossible. You simply can't just go and deport that many people. But what they do think is possible is to go and target more people, because more people own firearms than are entering the country legally, at least by the last, 2016 statistics about all the people who have crossed over. Well, in 2017, that number could be changing soon. You're talking about 15, 20 million people owning firearms, more than that probably. You're going to go door to door to all these people's houses? And what? How are you going to do that? Are you going to take police with you? Are you going to, because, you know, we're having difficulty right now with regards to law enforcement and resources. They can't hire enough people because they've been demonized so much. Which, by the way, sidebar on that, if you think that only the cops and the government should have guns, but yet you think the cops are racist pigs and that the government is run by Nazis, why in the hell do you only want those people to have guns? You're going to take those racist, horrible police officers that systematically target minorities and go door to door, including to minority neighborhoods and to minority houses, and you're going to forcibly take their firearms. And then what happens if there's, you know, heaven forbid, someone doesn't react too kindly to it, and there's an exchange of fire and someone is shot, and the police are then blamed, and rioting breaks out nationwide? You're all right being responsible for that? Is that okay to you? You're creating a problem because you thought you were creating a solution to a problem that does not exist in terms of law-abiding gun owners being responsible for all of this. But seriously, I really want to hear from these individuals how they're going to accomplish that. And so far, there hasn't been a reporter with a brain cell in their head to credibly ask that question. Are they going to go door to door? How many police officers do you think it's going to take? Is it going to be police? Or are you going to use military to go door to door? Millions of households, because you know that these people aren't going to turn their guns in. You know, in New Zealand, when they were saying a gun ban and they were calling for people to turn their firearms in, only 12 people did. 12 in New Zealand. So how is this going to work here? No, people aren't going to abide by it. So you're going to then have to make all these people felons, issue warrants for their arrests. You're going to have police that are going to be going out. Who's going to pay attention to the violent crimes that are taking place? Because you're going to need all of these police officers to go out there and arrest all of these people who, up until this point, have no record, have never done anything wrong until you decided to say they were felons because they owned a perfectly legal, up until this point, inanimate object with which they've never committed any crime or behaved in a felonious manner. So how are you going to handle this? What is it going to cost the taxpayer? And not just in money, but in terms of lives. You're going to be going door to door and doing this. This reminds me of the Lucy Law in New York City that got Eric Garner killed. The very far left New York City Council, which is basically you can never have a hope of getting elected to it. Very corrupt. The New York City Council and the mayor at the time, it was Bloomberg, they decided that they did not like the fact that they were being robbed of all of this tax revenue that was coming from all of these individuals in the street, like Eric Garner, who were selling single cigarettes. And so they decided to crack down on it. You're not allowed to sell single cigarettes. It's like if, you know, it's like Kane getting a pack of cigarettes and deciding to sell one for 10 cents, 25 cents, whatever, and being told he couldn't do that with his own property. I don't care what it is, being told you can't do that with your own property. Well, that's what they did in New York City. So you're not allowed to sell single cigarettes. But people kept operating and they kept doing it anyway. So new mayor Bill de Blasio's in, and he decides, along with the New York City Council, they need to really, really amp up their enforcement of the Lucy Law. And police were told to be, quote, more aggressive, end quote. That was according to the documentation that I read when we covered this after Eric Garner was killed. And so what ends up happening? The police don't write the laws. They bear the brunt of people who hate the law, but they don't write the law. If you don't want the police to enforce the law, elect better people. Everyone excuses themselves in this equation. You're more responsible for some stupid laws like this than the police who are forced by way of their work to enforce stupid laws like this. They were the ones who told the cops, get aggressive with these guys and arrest them. So when the cops were out, they were responding to a call about a fight in the street, and they see Eric Garner on the corner selling Lucy's. That's what they call the single cigarettes. Well, they were told they have to. They have to respond aggressively. People were already out there videotaping the fight. So cops are like, well, crap. And then they have to, hey, it's what these bureaucrats in New York City Council and his honor wanted. So they have to enforce and they have to be aggressive. And that's what ended up happening. Eric Garner would be alive today if New York City Council and the mayor's office hadn't wanted to enforce aggressively this stupid, ridiculous law about selling singular cigarettes. But hey, no one wants to have that conversation at all. No one wants to have it. And it's incredibly sad because I feel like people don't want to solve the problem as a result of refusing to have that conversation. So here you have people like Booker and you have people like Swalwell who say, yeah, we're gonna confiscate these. It's going to be an outright ban. This is what we're doing. It's going to happen. And Cory Booker was trying to dodge that question, too, by the way. He didn't really want to say that he would jail Americans, but that's ultimately what he intimated. Well, we'll see how that goes. These individuals, they don't care how they treat law-abiding people. But so far, Kamala Harris has called for it. Who's all called for this? Kamala Harris, Eric Swalwell, Cory Booker, tons of them have done this. Tons of them have called for this. Gillibrand. Yeah, Gillibrand, although she kind of got quiet. I mean, it's really this idea that this would even be successful in the United States. You would have to repeal the Second Amendment. Otherwise, you're behaving in an unconstitutional manner. Then can you imagine the lawsuits and liability? Are your local police going to be able to handle the liability and the legal cost that would come with people undoubtedly filing suit? You know they will. So none of these candidates can actually address the practicality of their proposals. They stated it's a platitude, but they never actually practically get into the details of how this would work. How is this law practical? How is this proposal practical? It's going to cost more than it would save in terms of lives. How do you do that? How do you justify it? Was Eric Garner's life, how does that quantify in terms of lost tax revenue for New York City? It's the same thing. None of them are going to answer. And you know, by the way, minority communities are going to be disproportionately affected by this because you are going to see they're going to be disproportionately affected because the criminals, after they're disarmed and they're victimized by politicians who, you know, people who are in urban, I would even say people who like the, even in rural areas with a meth situation, criminals are going to have laws or have guns. The innocent are going to be forcibly deprived. There are going to be a lot of different groups that are going to be disproportionately affected. And then again, what happens to the news stories? The ones that are going to make the news are when they go to minority homes and they try to confiscate. And then you're going to have pictures of police literally taking firearms from law-abiding black gun owners. How is that going to play out in the press? Are people like Eric Swalwell and Cory Booker ready for that? And if there's one exchange and by the way, because you think that they think that police can't be trusted, and that's sort of the, isn't that sort of the general refrain that you can't trust police and police don't have the best training, but yet you're going to be sending those people to forcibly take stuff from people's homes. And then what happens if one thing goes off? I mean, what happens if one thing and then shots are fired? How is that going? They're not even thinking. We have more to come. And also the latest with regards to Israel. And of course, Ilhan Omar, so predictable, decides to defend the people who are lobbing rockets over at Israel. Okay, well, there you go. Oof, moving on. Liberal Tears is that's what I drink for coffee. I already had my cup this morning. And also, it's what I use to clean my firearms, not the coffee, but the Liberal Tears gun oil, right? And it's bacon scented, which is really awesome. Liberal Tears bacon scented gun oil is a very extremely advanced proprietary blended gun lubricant that not only delivers unsurpassed performance in the harshest environments, but also provides you with the delicious smell of bacon. So you can pretend when you're cleaning your firearm that you're at breakfast. Or if you really want to double down on the freedom, have the Liberal Tears coffee, which will kick you in the neck with the caffeine and the dark roast. And then also clean your firearm while you eat bacon. So you can smell the bacon doubly, eat bacon, and also drink the Liberal Tears coffee. By the way, the percentage of every buck you spend at Liberal Tears, whether it's on the coffee, whether it's on their shirts, the koozies, it goes to fight unconstitutional gun laws, which is kind of an oxymoron, really. Unconstitutional gun laws. Think about it. Their coffee, by the way, also bagged by Special Forces veterans in partnership with Black Rifle Coffee Company. So you support our veterans as well. Visit liberaltears.net/Dana. When you enter promo code Dana, you're going to get the special Dana Liberal Tears bundle. It's a bag of Liberal Tears coffee, Liberal Tears coffee mug, a 4-ounce bottle of Liberal Tears gun oil, and you get the Liberal Penetrator gun cleaner. But you can only do it by going to liberaltears.net/Dana. Use promo code Dana to unlock the Liberal Tears bundle.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Listen live around the world
at DanaRadio.com.
I'm amazed, by the way, at the number of people who don't understand what tax exemption is. And because I was talking online, well, who was it? I responded to somebody that this idea that if you are tax exempt, this had to do with Gavin Newsom. He tweeted that gun violence kills nearly 100 Americans each day. It's a public health crisis, and we need to start treating it as such. By allowing research into gun violence prevention and firearm safety, we can save lives. Well, furthermore, more than half of those numbers are sadly suicide. The 1996 Dickey Amendment was something that was slipped into an omnibus bill, and what it stipulated was that there's zero ban on research. It's that taxpayer dollars cannot be used to advocate for or against any particular issue. It has to be neutral. And it amazes me that that people don't understand that, because there are verified people and journalists who are out there stating that the NRA needs to have its tax exempt status stripped. And they're arguing that taxpayers need to stop funding the NRA. Oh my gosh. These are like actual reporters with verified check marks. These are the people who write articles about tax policy that would affect you. And they think tax exemption means you are in receipt of taxpayer dollars. I am not even exaggerating this. And I'm actually being generous and almost downplaying it. And I have never seen anything so stupid in my entire life. The NRA doesn't receive taxpayer dollars. Planned Parenthood does, and they're tax exempt. Planned Parenthood receives, they receive $500 million a year. And they also are a 501c3. It's a nonprofit. It's a nonprofit organization that gets $500 million a year.
But they quarterly promote their profits, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, and they make a ton of money. They make a lot of money. But it is, really amazing to me just how these people are so uneducated. And these are also the same people that they're lecturing you about what economic policies you should support. So remember that. That's why so much of the reporting just sucks. We lack economic literacy in our schools, clearly. And how are people not embarrassed when they show their ass like this? How is they're not self-aware enough to the point where they are properly embarrassed by parading around their total ignorance on the issue? It's cringeworthy. I cringe. Second hour on the way. Stay with us.
This segment of the Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at keltecweapons.com.
We found out there were not enough. When the exodus occurred, the people who they didn't know how to turn on, the city didn't know how to turn on the streetlights, the water system, the sewer system, because it was all computerized. We needed people who knew how to code. And they'd all left. They moved. Black and white, they moved. And so what did we do? We went out and got an organization. If you're a business person and you want to get a tech person, you go to this particular organization. We said, come in and find us people who can do this job. And through a program we had through community colleges, we said, look, put together a program for us where we can teach people how to code. So they went out literally into the hood, and they found, turned out, 54, and they had to be all women, the vast majority were women of color, no one with more than a high school degree, ages 24 to 54, and half, almost a third of them only had a GED.
Wow, I love when old white men talk about trips to the hood. Whoa, welcome back, Cotter, to the second hour of the program at D. Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. I have some Liberal Tears coffee, so if I have a sip, you're just going to have to get over it. So 2020, I got to...
He also made a case, by the way, for no college, just so you know.
I don't understand where he's going when he opens up his mouth. I don't think he has a plan. I don't think he understands it either. But somehow, let me pull this up. This is, I want to make sure this is the right poll because there were a couple ones that I was looking at. And this was a 538. And then the other one I had was a Harvard Harris poll. Okay, so this is the one I was looking at. The Harvard poll has 44% of Democrat voters said that they're most likely to vote for Biden in the 2020 primaries. That poll has him, and this comes by way of the Hill. That poll has him as plus 30. And Sanders was in second place at 14. Kamala Harris was 9%. And this is the poll. And this was a surge. Now, we're going on week two. Remember what I told you. After the second week, look for things to settle as people become acclimated to this idea of him being a candidate as opposed to just this guy who's this sort of this retired elder statesman, for the lack of a better way to put it. Elizabeth Warren came in at 5 on this poll. Pete Buttigieg was 4. Booker and Beto were tied for 6 at 3. And then the other cats weren't even up there. Aw. Swalwell and Booker, they're not even in there. Oh, they're not even polling. And they weren't polling in the 538 one that I was looking at either. But that was just kind of a daily tracking thing. But so at 538, he's plus 38. He's plus 38% there. But he just announced, and he's a big name, so that's kind of par for the course, you know? That's we'll see what happens after it kind of settles a little bit. But it went up after he announced that he was going to run, because at April 16th, he was at plus 45, 23, it was at 46, April 30th, it was at 53%, and his difference from the beginning of them measuring him as a candidate was plus 8, and that was with YouGov, over half of the Democrat voters now considering Biden. So we have a YouGov 538, and then we have the Harvard Harris that shows him up by... He's over 40% in each of those polls, with the YouGov at the highest at 53. So with the YouGov poll, actually he's plus 8 over Bernie with the YouGov poll. And then Bernie's plus 4 over Elizabeth Warren. And Kamala Harris has been pretty static from April 16th to April, which I thought was interesting. April 30th, she's been at 36%. So we'll see how that is. But he was plus 8 in the YouGov poll. Biden was going back up to the Harvard Harris poll. He was, because him and Bernie was number 2. And so he was, he's at a pretty good, he was plus 16 there. And then in the Harvard Harris, he was 44. So I think the Harvard Harris one, he's the strongest in. And that was a recent one as well. That was actually just taken over this past Yeah, this past Saturday. And he's plus 30 at that one in the Harvard-Harris. So that's the one that shows. And the cross tabs are kind of all. Here's what where a couple of the polls didn't break it down that I was looking at. Because don't you think it matters now at this point how far left someone is? You can't just say registered or like. I think that they need to break down their polling more to better measure their base by breaking down into socialist and Democrat. Bernie Sanders is a socialist who just happened to, he has to run as a Democrat. He's already talked about that. Don't you think that would be more accurate? And that way you could see whether or not it was fairly sampled. I think that's important because they do that. I've seen them do that with a number of Republican primary polling where they would look at conservatives and then Republicans, which is, you're going to have a lot of discrepancies in between, or a lot of differences rather in between that as to what people want. So anyway, also with regards to 2020, Biden has announced his nickname for Trump. I'm really disappointed. It's clown. He's a walking gaffe, by the way. Joe Biden is a walking gaffe. And a friend of mine gave him the nickname Lunch Bucket Joe, which I thought was way better than... I was really disappointed in Trump's nickname.
Sleepy?
Yeah. He named him after a dwarf. I was disappointed in that. So Biden just calls him clown. But then he also messed up when he was at the same place where he calls him a clown. He also messed up and referred to the British leader. He was talking about Theresa May and he called her Margaret Thatcher. It said via a pool at a Biden fundraiser, he flubbed the British prime minister. Quote, Margaret Thatcher, Margaret Thatcher, Freudian slip. But I knew her too. The prime minister of Great Britain, Theresa May. That's not even a Freudian slip. That's not what a Freudian slip is. Oh my gosh, people don't understand what that phrase means. And we also don't understand tax policy today. Is there anything else we can just totally screw up? I'm curious. And he said that Theresa May was one of 14 leaders who expressed concerns about Trump, and then he called him a clown. I don't think that's what a nick, that's not a nickname. Calling someone a clown, that's not a nickname. So, yeah. Oh, and then apparently JoeBiden.org leaks to a White House page called Trump Administration Accomplishments. Good job, website team. Good job. Good heavens. So I think he's already kind of stumbling a little bit. Because he really is. So he's got, and then apparently Bill de Blasio. Are seriously people talking about Bill de Blasio, the woodchuck killer? Wait, not a woodchuck. What the hell is that thing?
Groundhog?
What's the difference between a woodchuck, a groundhog, and a prairie dog?
I don't think there's much.
Or prairie dog, yeah.
I don't think there's much. I mean, I know we're in a world of no nuance, so I guess nothing's the difference.
Woodchucks, because prairie dogs don't chuck wood.
No.
Yeah,
and we
know
really
that much.
We finalized the actual calculation of how much wood a woodchuck could chuck.
I mean, it doesn't make as much sense to say how much wood would a prairie dog chuck.
Right.
Because then you wouldn't even say chuck.
Well, you would say if a prairie dog could chuck.
No, if a prairie dog could gnaw on wood, then you would say it like that and it wouldn't make as much sense. Bill de Blasio would make for 22 people if he got into the race. Was it 2012? When there were, no, it wasn't 2012, 2008, when there were so many Democrats that were trying to run for the primary, I remember CNN had to have two different debates because there were something like 15, 16 people running. So we'll see.
Free debates now.
Yeah, well, you have to raise a certain amount of money and you have to pull at 1% in order to actually get on the stage at the debate. A ceasefire was reached after 700 rockets were launched at Israel by Hamas. Hamas launched a cyber attack during this whole barrage, and so Israel blew up their cyber command center. Yeah, well, that's what happens. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. So there appears to be kind of at least not so much a ceasefire, maybe a pause, but there were over 600 rockets, and they killed six Israeli civilians. And they were launched from civilian locations in Gaza because Hamas and Iran and the Iranian-controlled Islamic Jihad, they like to use civilians as shields. It's like what Cersei Lannister is doing now.
She's
You knew I was going to do that. So right now, what we're looking at in Game of Thrones is Cersei Lannister. She invited all of the town's citizens to come into the Red Keep so that if Daenerys Targaryen cannot effectively bomb out Cersei Lannister unless she butchers thousands of people. So Cersei Lannister is using the civilians as a human shield. And this is exactly what Hamas does. Hamas is Cersei Lannister. They're using these people as human shields. And of course, you have individuals who are defending it, like Ilhan Omar, who thinks that it is, she's been defending them. She was defending them after, her quote was, "How many more protesters must be shot? Rockets must be fired and little kids must be killed." And I thought maybe she's talking about Israel. Until the endless cycle of violence ends. The status quo of occupation and humanitarian crisis in Gaza is unsustainable. Only real justice can bring about security and lasting peace. So Gaza started launching rockets. They have been, the world has bent over backwards to accommodate Hamas and Palestinian leaders. Israel vacated already. They left greenhouses. They've shipped food. They've done all kinds of stuff. And instead of using their money and resources wisely, Gaza then fritters it all away by giving martyr payments to terrorists, the leaders there, and then also digging tunnels so that they can take munitions in and get and carry out suicide attacks, etc., in Israel. And so that's who Ilhan Omar. Why is she still on the Foreign Relations Committee? It's terrifying. We have more to discuss. We have headlines also coming up, and Stephen Yates will join us later on. CarShield is a great program if you want to have extended vehicle protection, service protection for your car in the event of a costly repair, because you want to have options. And you also want to make sure that having your car fixed is easy. Their whole process of getting your car fixed for a covered repair, CarShield really just takes out all the legwork on it, because you can take your car to your favorite mechanic, somebody you trust, or the dealership to do the work. And then CarShield provides you with 24/7 roadside assistance on a rental car while yours is being fixed. So if your car has 5,000 to 150,000 miles, you don't have to pay high repair bills. Their administrators have paid out close to $2 billion in claims, and they are ready to help you. So save yourself thousands in future car repairs and get covered by the ultimate in extended vehicle protection. Call their new number, 800-CAR-6000. Mention code Dana or visit carshield.com. Use code Dana to save 10%. Carshield.com, code Dana, or 800-CAR-6000. A deductible may apply. Do you support government-funded abortion? Do you support sanctuary cities? If not, why then do you support these efforts with your cell phone? That might seem like a big leap from your cell phone to progressive lobbying, but the truth is that Big Mobile gives millions of dollars to far-left causes each year, and that's why conservatives created Patriot Mobile. With veteran-led Patriot Mobile, America's only conservative cell phone company, every phone call protects your constitutional rights. Every bill fights for your freedom. Get the same reliable nationwide coverage with plans starting as low as $25 a month. Why wait? Call 1-800-A-PATRIOT and use code Dana or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana to waive your activation fee. Patriot Mobile gives you a choice to stop supporting the things in which you don't believe. It's easy to switch to Patriot Mobile. Mention Dana when you call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit them online at patriotmobile.com/Dana to get your activation fee waived. You can make a difference, but only if you make the switch. Call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana.
It's the Dana Show.
We got a lot of stuff to get into, including some of this. Gosh, I'm just crazy amused with all of the individuals that just don't understand. They think that subsidies are literal funding by taxpayer, or subsidies and exemptions. So I'll get into some of that coming up. In the meantime, let's kick it into some Quick Five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
We're going to talk about this more later, but Alyssa Milano is in a fight with Wendy's over spicy chicken nuggets. Wendy's tweeted, "Y'all keep asking, so here's your chance. The people in charge say if you guys can get our tweet to 2 million likes, they will bring spicy chicken nuggets back." Chance the Rapper said, "My album comes out in less than 2 months. Hashtag spicy chicken nuggets." And Alyssa Milano gets in and says, "Chance, did you know that Wendy's is the only fast food chain refusing to protect farm worker women from sexual assault and rape in the fields?" Like, in the fields of what? Chickens? What the hell? Nugget field, where they grow spicy nuggets. We want food harvested with dignity, not violence. I don't even know what this means. We are so coming back to this, but I wanted to put that on your table right now. So just, you know, FYI right there. I'm amazed. Moving on down the line. So Chris Collins, who's a Republican, says, let's double the gas tax and airline fees. Excuse me, what? Why are we doing this? So apparently, this is some of the things where some Republicans keep talking about this massive infrastructure bill that they're, you know, going to be pushing out. And one ally on Capitol Hill is calling for the doubling of the federal gas tax and airline fees in order to pay for the $2 trillion infrastructure package. Representative Chris Collins of New York, of course, is urging Congress to double the 18.4 cents per gallon gasoline tax, which hasn't been raised in more than a quarter century. He also wants to double the existing fee that airline passengers pay per flight. Oh, you can have like a million seats on that. That's no. No, thank you. No, thank you. I think we can all say no, thank you, right? Trump has Obama era appointee Mark Morgan as head of Immigration, Customs and Enforcement. New Jersey may ban all bags at supermarkets, no paper or plastic. Yeah, no paper, but you have to carry all the groceries out with your hands. Just put them in your arms. It's a bill that landed on Governor Phil Murphy's desk. Originally, it was not strict enough and vetoed. So then he asked lawmakers to try again. So now they've come back with stricter measures with regards to Senate Bill 2776. It calls for bans on single-use plastic bags, plastic straws, polystyrene food containers, and a 10-cent fee on paper bags. But it looks like it could go further because there's an amendment to include a ban on paper bags as well from Democrat Bob Smith, who is head of the Senate Environment and Energy Committee. And so that's in New Jersey, no bags whatsoever. None. No bags at all. No one knows how in the hell they're going to get their groceries out into their... What on earth? No bags. How do you go to the grocery store with no bags?
Reusable canvas.
That's stupid. I'll do what I want. But I won't throw an iguana. But that's what this guy did. See, this is CTV News. Iguana was thrown at a restaurant manager. And this is Ohio, not Florida. Ohio man. An iguana was injured. This makes me mad. When a man pulled the lizard from under his shirt and threw it at an Ohio restaurant manager, he's in protective custody. And the iguana is at a humane society. They're waiting to court permission to provide medical treatment. Just treat the damn thing. It's a turquoise iguana named Copper. And this moron broke its leg. Ooh, can we throw him? I'm just asking for a friend. Can we throw this guy? The 49-year-old was charged with cruelty to animals and disorderly conduct. They're both misdemeanor. I think it should be a felony, personally. We got more to get into. Don't go anywhere.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
This portion of The Dana Show is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at keltecweapons.com.
Look at this. I hear it. This is a group of Philadelphia Muslim school children singing a fun song in Farsi about killing people. Oh, it's the Muslim American Society Islamic Center in Philadelphia. They posted this to Facebook. And apparently there's the kids, they're singing and chanting about martyrs who attain paradise and chopping off heads and sacrificing souls. And they were wearing, they were talking about liberating the mosque that's in Jerusalem's old city. It's controlled by Israel. And they posted this on Facebook. Was that on purpose or an accidental posting?
Just so you know, these aren't soldiers or anybody like that.
They're kids. So the Muslim American Society issued a statement on Saturday. They said, we're going to investigate this quote, unintended mistake and an oversight. They're talking about conducting terror activities. That's a little bit more than an unintended mistake and an oversight. So wait, it was an unintended mistake and an oversight to post you teaching kids about how to do terrorism and chopping off people's heads and stuff? Or it was an unintended mistake and an oversight to teach kids about, like they say, we will defend our land and we will sacrifice our souls without hesitation. We will chop off their heads. And we will liberate the sorrowful and exalted mosque. They're talking about the mosque that's there in Jerusalem. And that those are the lyrics. And until we reach our shores and crush the treacherous ones. And those who reject oppression are the ones who assert their existence. And then they talk about killing people that disagree with them. Oh my gosh. And then one child narrator says, those who accept humiliation, what is the point of their existence? The organization said that the person in charge was dismissed. What? They say the blood of the martyrs protects us. Paradise needs real men. They say the land of the Prophet Muhammad's night journey is calling us. Our Palestine must return to us. Wow, dude, that's messed up. This is like Westboro cult bad, man. And they say we will lead the army of Allah fulfilling his promise and we will subject them to eternal torture. The Muslim American Society released a statement saying, quote, the songs weren't properly vetted. Oh, you think? Oh, you guys think so?
What was the first clue?
Yeah, well, yeah, what gave it away? What gave it away that they weren't properly vetted? Holy.
Don't say it.
So I'm going to read you this statement. You ready? Because it is full of absolute shh, stop interrupting me. This is how it goes. This is their statement that they posted on Facebook. This is May 3rd. The Muslim American Society Philadelphia Center rejects a statement made at an event held in April at a local community center in Philadelphia. The center celebrated Umma Day, where children sing songs from cultural traditions, like chopping off heads. While we celebrate the coming together of different cultures and languages, not all songs were properly vetted. You know, the ones where they're talking about eternal torture and chopping off heads and the blood of the martyrs protects them. They're talking about the terrorist activities protects them. This was an unintended mistake and an oversight in which the center and the students are remorseful. Wait, they're remorseful because you got caught or that you sang this crap? MAS Philadelphia Center will conduct an internal investigation to make sure this does not occur again. As a faith-based organization dedicated to moving people to strive for God consciousness and head chopping, okay, the head chopping wasn't in there, and a just and virtuous society, we affirm our long-standing position on our shared values of humanity. Okay, sidebar, what? Where's the humanity when you're talking about eternal torture and chopping off people's heads and the blood of the martyr protecting you and how you have to kill all the people who don't agree with you? Like, where does that come in? Okay, back to them. We stand resolutely in our condemnation of hate, bigotry, Islamophobia. Okay, sidebar. You guys were being hateful and bigoted towards everyone else, literally like fetishizing, killing them through the mouths of these children. So, okay, back to the piece. Xenophobia, racism, anti-Semitism, and all the illnesses of hate that plague our society. They have 50 chapters throughout the country, by the way, this org.
Illnesses of hate.
Yep.
What the hell?
50 chapters. I don't even know what the hell. The martyr is, that's what they call people who carry out terrorist attacks against civilians. They go, we're going to form a local commission to aid in sensitivity training and proper oversight for future programs. That's the Philly Inquirer. Next time, we're going to use better words to talk about chopping people's heads off, like separating the neck from the cranium. That's a more eloquent way to put it that gives less stress to the person hearing the words.
And no one's allowed to Facebook post anymore.
We're also not going to allow anyone to Facebook post any of the lessons we teach our children. There's a lot of Islamophobes out there. How dare you be bigoted and so judgmental against children singing a beautiful song about murdering those who disagree with them? What is wrong with you? Is this not America?
Makes for interesting recess, though.
Right? Jeebus. So, yeah. By the way, you know, there's still a lot of Palestinian suicide bombings against Israelis. They say the blood of the martyrs protects them. This is crazy. is as crazy as all get out. I cannot. And this is in Philadelphia.
Oh, we can't pray in school, though, right?
Yeah, we can't pray in school.
In the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah, you can't be like, in public school, your teacher can't be horrible. Like, let's all bow our heads in prayer and just, you know, extend God's grace to, you know, those who persecute us and ask the Lord to forgive them. We can't say something like that in school because it's hateful. But hey, we're going to chop, chop, chop off people's heads. We're going to chop, chop, chop off people's heads. Chop, chop, chop off people's heads. We're going to chop off their heads for Allah. I don't know. I'm just saying that might have been a
Actually,
song.
That's an accurate English interpretation.
That's literally what they said. I mean, it wasn't like that, but that's kind of what they said. And by kind of, I mean, they're talking about how the blood of the martyrs protects them and they do it for Allah. Wow, the martyrs that you're talking about are terrorists who commit terrorist activities. Oh my gosh. Do you think they should be? I think they should be investigated. I think that whole school, that whole outfit should be investigated.
Oh, without a doubt.
But I love how the people are going, the organization behind it, they're saying, oh, you know, it was an unintended mistake and oversight. By the way, isn't that an oxymoron, an unintended mistake? You intended to have this class and you intended to teach them not just the song, but there was choreography that went along with it. I don't know if you knew that or not. Like, there was choreography. Do you guys know it? They had like the people, they were like dancing and stuff.
Let's be honest.
All in unison.
The consequences were unintended.
That's what it was. Well, the consequences were, the reaction was an unintended mistake and an oversight. And they're going to investigate. I think that there actually should be an investigation. But hey, if you're a Christian baker, oh my gosh. If you're a Christian baker though, that's super bad dangerous. This CNN wrote over 20 articles on the Covington Catholic students and entirely ignored these Philly Muslim students chanting about chopping people's heads off, says Daily Caller.
Weird.
Yeah, they actually were part of that controversy with Nick Sandman and the Covington kids, and 23 times. But yet they have not at all written a single thing or said a single thing about these students at the Philadelphia Islamic Center reading poetry and singing songs about terrorism and killing people. I mean, Nick Sandman just smirked, and these kids are singing about, quote, subjecting the enemies of Allah to eternal torture, end quote. Jeez. There's nothing there. They don't have anything there at CNN about that. Nobody's talking about it. Is that not insane?
Next is crayon time.
Now, make sure you have a lot of red crayons, because there's going to be a lot of blood spilled for our martyrs. Yeah, don't stay in the lines on this one, kids. Make sure the blood runs through your drawn streets. Oh my gosh. I can't. We have Florida Man on the way. Let's just put it like that. And we're going to get to that here momentarily. There's no good way to segue from that to what we're going to talk about. Like, how do you talk about flowers from this? There's no way. Yeah, there's no way. Mother's Day is in a week. Holy cow, it is in a week. Do you have like your mom's flowers all set up? Because if you don't, shame on you. The Bouqs can help you out though. It's short for bouquets, B-O-U-Q-S. And they're picked fresh and delivered right to mom from farm to vase. So they last weeks and not days. These are gorgeous bouquets, very unique. You're not going to find them at, you know, the other $19 bouquet place, except it's actually there. The other people, they say $19 and then it ends up being like 60 something. Bouqs has farms located on the side of a volcano that produce gorgeous flowers, and they focus on the flowers. So don't think about adding some stupid made in China teddy bear to this stuff, okay, for like an upcharge of $6.99, because that's not what they do. They focus on the bouquets, okay, and they cut out the middlemen, so you get amazing, gorgeous, unique arrangements. Gorgeous bouquets at an amazing price. So send mom the flowers day she deserves from the Bouqs. Order today. Get an extra 20% off when you enter Dana. That's Bouqs.com. Enter Dana to save an extra 20% at Bouqs.com.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England, not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Stream the podcasts. Tell your Amazon device, Alexa, play the Dana Show podcast.
It was a humor. The New York Times referred to it as levity. That's what I intended. I intended to create the hashtag chicken bar and bring home the fact that he was chicken to stand up to 30 minutes of questioning by our two counsels, Norm Eisen and Barry Berg, who attorney general with the acumen of an attorney general should not be afraid for that hearing. And there's plenty of precedent for it.
Wait, he wants to create a chicken bar? That sounds amazing.
Right.
Is it like a bar where you can just get like, was it rotisserie chicken, fried chicken? Like, how does that work?
Yeah.
And then you put your own toppings on it. You want some gravy with it. You want to get a side of waffles. Like, is that what we're talking about? Because that sounds like an amazing concept. Trademark, that sounds like an amazing concept. Chicken bar. Wow. It's amazing. Yeah. By the way, that's Stephen Cohen, who's the guy with the skullet. It's really long and back and just needs a trim so desperately. Really. It's not going to happen. He didn't lie under oath. Democrats just really, I think, handed a huge victory to Trump on this because they hedged every bet on this Mueller thing. And when they lost, now they're looking desperate and shrill and they're trying to go after now William Barr. And because they realize how bad it would look to compromise themselves further by going after Bob Mueller and accusing him of not doing what they wanted him to do because he didn't recommend charges because there was nothing to substantiate the recommendation of any charges to the AG. So they mad. And this really, if anything, the gap that was between Trump and some Republicans, I think it actually solidified them against this nonsense. So great job. You guys did that.
Success.
Yeah. Great job. I hope they keep playing this kind of thing. I mean, I hope they keep with this type of strategy. It's working so well. Let's kick it into some Florida Man.
It's time for Florida Person. It's time to check what Florida is up to.
No, wait a minute. You emailed me something, a Florida Man story that was sent to us from our Tampa affiliate.
Yeah, the details are in the body of the email. It's actually a funny story.
Oh my gosh. This is our Tampa affiliate.
Typical Florida story.
This is so amazing. All right, so I love this.
His blood alcohol content is what
Well,
got
wait,
me.
Hold on. Florida man crashes lawnmower into HCPD vehicle charged with DUI. It's Haines City, Florida, Haines City Police Department. A Florida man was charged with driving under the influence after crashing his lawnmower into a Haines City Police Department vehicle before 7 p.m. Saturday evening. The vehicle was parked at Rodriguez Fashion. While the officer was tending to another matter inside, he heard a loud noise outside the business. The officer walked outside and saw Gary Wayne Anderson, 68, on a lawnmower with an attached trailer, and he noticed minor damage to the rear plastic portion of the police vehicle's bumper. Anderson told police he didn't hit the vehicle, or that he did hit the vehicle, but he didn't cause any damage, and he's drunk. He said to the officer that he was drunk. Anderson was entirely unable to complete the field sobriety tests, and his demeanor ranged from laughing to aggressive. After being transported to the Haines City Police Department, Anderson claimed that he had been poisoned by the police and must be taken to the hospital immediately. So then Anderson was transported to the Heart of Florida Regional Medical Center, where he maintained that he had been poisoned by the police. At the police department, Anderson agreed to submit to a breathalyzer, but would not provide an adequate sample. He then provided an adequate sample at Heart of Florida. His blood alcohol content returned at 0.241, more than three times the legal limit. He was also loaded up with some cocaine. Anderson accused the police of poisoning him with cocaine when directing profane language and racial slurs at the arresting officer. Anderson's driver's license had been suspended since March 1978. Anderson had two prior DUI convictions, with the last coming in 1987, making the charges a third DUI violation, more than 10 years in refusal to submit to a DUI test after license suspended their first-degree misdemeanors. There was no other damage to the police vehicle. Anderson's lawnmower and trailer were towed. How do you crash a lawnmower into a parked car, pray tell? I like how they said, sir, your tests come back. You're actually high on cocaine right now because the police poisoned me with the cocaine. That's what. Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, I have another story for you. Well, I didn't know that they did pot and bales, but apparently they do. These kids were picking up trash for Earth Day. Then they found a 22-pound bale of weed. Florida student volunteers participating in post-Earth Day mangroves cleanup in Ismarada last week expected to find the usual array of bottles, cans, plastic bags, straws, and an occasional shoe. Well, they found all of that and a 22-pound bale of marijuana, according to Adam Hoffner, agent in charge of the Florida Keys for U.S. Border Patrol. It was found by students at Coral Shores High School during a field trip. They called the police and the Border Patrol agents picked up the 22 bale of weed. They said, yes, keep on a lookout, and it's good that they called police. Oh, my gosh, that's something. How does it even get there? Oh, my gosh, I don't know how, if I want to do this one. Sounds so bad. This is sent in from somebody from our Orlando affiliate. We also have a wanted Florida man hoped a blonde wig would disguise him from deputies as he biked away. Didn't work. Orlando Sentinel. A wanted Florida man put on a blonde wig and tried to bike away from the Brevard County Sheriff's Office deputies. The wig didn't work, and of course, agents caught up to Robert Bobby Walls. He was on lots of drugs and with the intent to distribute. Stay with us. Third hour next.
Would you endorse a white person?
Would I endorse a white person?
Yes.
Has there ever been a white person to run for president? It'd be the first white person, am I right?
No, I'm saying, whoa, that's not what I asked. I'm saying, at this point in time, would you be cool endorsing a white person? Does it need to be someone intersectional?
Like,
would you
go against Trump?
Yeah.
I'm going to endorse a Nazi against Trump.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, that's the ex-Mrs. Roseanne Barr, Mr. Roseanne Barr.
But he's called Trump a Nazi.
Yeah, he's like, he's a Nazi. Nazi. Yeah, I, he would actually vote for a Nazi over Trump, he said. Gosh, these people are, the Trump derangement syndrome is real. Welcome back to the show. At Dana Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. He sounded drunk, right?
Yeah, I mean,
in his defense, he often is and does sound that way.
Yeah, he does seem like a total angry drunk. Tom Arnold. That's him. We're going to talk with Stephen Yates a little bit later on with regards to the latest escalation between Israel and the terrorists that keep bombing them from Gaza. So we'll get into all of that. I also have some social justice warrior stuff for you to get into. A couple of other things I'm going to get into, including some criticism of Jonah Goldberg. So we're going to get into all of that and more. But with regards to I have so many headlines that I still want to touch on. The one headline, gasoline with ethanol actually decreases engine performance. Why your gasoline won't take you as far as it used to. I feel like that teddy bear gif where he looks around like whiskey, tango, foxtrot. Really? You guys just now figuring out that your gasoline won't take you as far as it used to if you're mixing it with food? Really? This is so Dagny Taggart with the soybean stuff. With Atlas Shrugged. It is that scenario right here. Because you're burning corn. You're burning. That's what. That's stupid. And why, by the way? What is the purpose? It's dumb. It's actually yellow.
They were trying to make the argument that it's a renewable, you know what I mean, a renewable resource for actual fuel, when in fact it turns out it can't compare to gasoline.
What a great way to satiate the corn lobby.
That's kind of what it was, though. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, it's the corn lobby up in Iowa. That's why they all go and they demonstrate fealty to the corn lobby. We'll get people, we'll convince them that if we burn your corn and eat it, it's better for the environment. Some for the car, some for me. Some for the car, some for me. We're going to convince the world that running cars on corn is going to be great for the environment and their cars. Reality? Not. Nope. It didn't work out that way. I just thought it was funny that's a new... Like, it actually doesn't take you as far as everyone thought. Really? Really? I thought so. So a couple of other stories that... Oh my gosh, I don't know if we're going to have enough time. Give me one second here. Because I have some social justice warrior stuff for you as well. So I told you about the Alyssa Milano versus the Wendy's chicken nuggets. She's having a fight with Wendy's chicken nuggets right now. You know, her crusade is real. She's mad because she said? I'm confused by this. She says she got into a fight with Wendy's. Wendy's tweeted, "Y'all keep asking, so here's your chance. The people in charge say if you guys can get our tweet, this one right here, to 2 million likes, they will bring back spicy, they will bring spicy chicken McNuggets, spicy chicken nuggets back. Let's do this." And Chance the Rapper got on the hashtag, and then Alyssa Milano tweets to him, "Chance, did you know that Wendy's is the only fast food chain refusing to protect farm worker women from sexual assault and rape in the fields? Message for the people in charge. Instead of spicy nuggets, we want food that's harvested with dignity, not violence." What in the hell? When they're out there picking the nuggets off the nugget plant and harvesting them, it's very difficult because everyone knows that's where chicken nuggets comes from. Direct quote from Alyssa Milano, probably.
Do they grow like peanuts, like underground? Or are they above ground nuggets?
I think they're probably, well, I don't know, like potatoes, you mean?
Yeah, kind of like potatoes.
Like, is it like a nightshade kind of thing?
Is it like a peanut or a potato?
I don't even know what nightshade means. I just said it because the potato is, and that was,
but
I don't need lessons.
I envision
a
nugget would be something you find in the ground.
It seems like that. So, it's like a nugget. Right. Nuggets are in the ground. It seems right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they just brush the dust off of it. How do you make them spicy? You put some paprika on it. I don't know. This is not like a spicy variety. Grow it next to some jalapenos. I don't know. It's not like a spicy variety. She picks the weirdest damn fights. How do you strategize?
How dare Chance the Rapper like spicy chicken nuggets?
How dare he talk about spicy nuggets? The people who toil in the fields for nuggets. Alyssa Milano doesn't like that a lot. Oh my gosh. The weirdest fights to pick. I'm not quite sure why, but okay. Weirdest fights. That's the one she decided to go with. And of course she was roundly mocked. Which that makes all the sense in the world. Oh, I have some more social justice warrior stuff. Hold up. I got a couple things to get into you with. So this is a restaurant in the UK, and they decided to celebrate gay pride by creating an LGBT sandwich, lettuce, guacamole, bacon, and tomato. I would eat that sandwich.
Me too.
And it comes in gay pride packaging. And he says, I saw a couple of people tweet this on Twitter, on twitter.com. And people are mad, but not the religious people. It's the LGBT community.
Why?
Because the sandwich was highly offensive. And then the restaurant in the UK had to, I don't know. The sandwich sparked backlash from shoppers and those in the LGBT community. Aaron Wright, a totally overdramatic artistic director, wrote online, "I felt so enraged I left. Basically equating us to a sandwich. I can't imagine them doing this with other marginalized groups." No one equated you to a sandwich, you moron. Oh my word.
Have four questions. Does lettuce start with L? Does bacon start with B?
Mm.
Does guacamole start with G?
Yeah, they do all these things. It is the dumbest story I've ever. It's Marks and Spencer. That's the store. And they packaged it. I mean, it's a pre-made sandwich and a little rainbow sandwich wrapping. It's a little lettuce, guacamole, bacon, tomato sandwich snack. And they did that for Gay Pride Parade. It was a special edition sandwich. Came in rainbow packaging. The company said it's going to donate more than £10,000 to charity as part of its campaign. But despite its best intentions, says Daily Mail, the sandwich sparked backlash from shoppers. Another critic added, whilst it is good a national company is raising awareness, this blatant exploitation of a marginalized community for a huge profit. Is it a gay sandwich? Well, wait a minute. Hold up. Everybody stop. Shh. So we're mad at non-gay chicken sandwiches.
Yes.
And we're mad also at gay chicken, at gay bacon guacamole sandwiches. We're mad at non-gay sandwiches and we're mad at gay sandwiches. Right?
I think the lesson I'm taking from this is we're not able to abbreviate sandwich ingredients anymore.
It's lettuce, bacon, lettuce, bacon, tomato, and guac. Or lettuce, guac, bacon, and tomato.
LGBT.
And they're like, how dare they exploit this? How dare they exploit us? This is so, I mean, they're celebrating it.
Is literally raising awareness.
You know what? I can't imagine getting so worked up over something you're going to poop out. Does this be real? You can do that. You can have that. You know what? But it's true. You're going to pass it through your system. Why are we getting so worked up about a sandwich? There are children in parts of the world that would love to eat this gay sandwich. They're starving to death. And we have all these one percenter just tight, wound up on 11 British people. Oh my goodness, I can't dare. I can't handle your exploitation of my personal life. It's like you made a sandwich directly of me. It was just a fun way they were doing it to honor gay pride. And all the gay people got mad. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them got mad. Meanwhile, there's a starving child in one of those Sally Struthers commercials over there somewhere, sitting in the sand going, I really wish that I had that sandwich to eat. I don't find it offensive. I'm starving to death. And my stomach sticks out past my feet, not because I'm obese, but because I'm just all skin and bones. And I would love to eat that sandwich that you're so offended about. Can we maybe get a little bit of perspective? Can we? Is it possible for people to just remove heads from rectum and think logically? Is it possible? It's a sandwich. Sandwich. And this is how people reacted. Yeah. I'm not offended by this sandwich. I'd be like, oh, look, it's a rainbow sandwich. You know, you don't see people. What other products have they done that to here in the United States? This is in Britain where everybody, you know, speech is like criminalized over there. Haven't they done products where...
I'm sure they have. where they abbreviate causes?
Yeah.
Where sandwich ingredients are abbreviated? How dare they?
Well, I mean, isn't there coffee that's done stuff and they put rainbow stuff on certain things, you know?
Yeah.
I remember there's a lot of people that have done that. So but I don't hear anybody in the United States to the social justice warriors credit freaking out over this. It's a sandwich. Just want to point that out, how it's a sandwich. All right. So I have more social justice warrior stuff for you still. And we're going to talk to Stephen Yates coming up at the bottom of the hour after our quick five. We have that also. I read a piece by Jonah Goldberg that was an opinion column. I sent him an email over it, and I probably will never hear a response from him. He's not a fan of mine. But I expect people on the left to go to lazily cite Media Matters as it's a source, reputable source, particularly those who are far left journalists, some of them who are too lazy to do their own work. But I'm always incredibly disappointed when I see someone on the right that does the same thing. And that's pretty much what Jonah Goldberg did when he was mischaracterizing some statements of mine and a video that I made a couple of years ago. He basically quoted Media Matters on it. And while he was patting himself on the back for his perceived intelligent elitism. And I sent him an email about it. And I was very straight, no chaser with it. Because I will never in any way not actually email someone directly. And I sent him an email saying, disappointed in your mischaracterization. I said, Jonah, off the record, we've never spoken, and that's a shame because we should have before you egregiously mischaracterize my remarks and work in your latest column. I get that Media Matters is easy sourcing for those who care nothing for truth or accuracy, but it's disappointing to see you run to the same well with your claims. I never said, and he was saying that I said all journalists should be curb stomped. I never said that. I said that I love how the fake news is being curb stomped by the president. And so that he said the other, I mean, it's on video. He said the other otherwise. I told him, I said, I never said journalists deserve to be curb stomped. I specifically and facetiously joked about crushing falsified news reports. I get it, though, Jonah. Nuance is dead. Everything is dramatically literal, especially for conservatives and especially if they advocate for Second Amendment rights. Right? Gosh, I wonder why I'm so hotly critical of some in media. I also, Jonah, have no clue how you can write a piece on what I do with NRATV, given that you very clearly never watched it. 99.99% of my work there focuses entirely on defensive gun use, gun laws, and proposed infringement state by state. Even the smallest, most localized attempt to restrict rights is discussed. My nationally syndicated radio show, which has aired years before any official relationship was ever formed separately with the NRA and remains separate, covers everything political and cultural. Many people, in an effort to incite division and smear my character, fraudulently make the argument that I, in my capacity with the NRA, focus mainly on other issues by purposefully conflating NRA TV with my radio program or Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. I'm genuinely shocked that you would write something, Jonah, like this and not spend the energy to clarify any of this with the person you're writing about whose work is unfamiliar to you, Jonah Goldberg. I realize this likely means little difference to you, but I thought I'd give it a shot because unlike you, I still appreciate courtesy. And he won't ever say anything. But Jonah's completely welcome to come on my airwaves. But I'm, you know, don't think for one second that I'm not going to respond to that, especially people who I thought better of them. And there are people on the conservative side that think that they are somehow your ethical or moral betters, and they're not. And I really do not like the contrived, pretentious preening that I see by some, including Goldberg. So there you have it. You can at me on that. All right. So we have more to touch on, and we're going to get into all of this good stuff. We have coming up Quick Five and all that jazz. Vetter holsters make really good holsters, and it is holsters are very personal for people. They want to go with the stuff that they like, and holsters also make great gifts, by the way. One of the cool things to do for mom this Mother's Day, or you know, your sister, your friend, your girlfriend, whoever, is get her a totally customized holster from Vetter Holsters. They have 85 different colors and patterns to pick from. They make them for 250 different models. You can have it in the mail sent to you within 3 days, and it's entirely customized. 10% off site-wide when you use code Dana. Visit vetterholsters.com/Dana for 10% off site-wide using code Dana. V-E-D-D-E-R holsters.com/Dana. You can only get them there. Use code Dana for 10% off site-wide. Vetter Holsters, proud to be American-made.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It's The Dana Show.
At Dana Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Stephen Yates is going to be joining us here coming up. Went a little long last segment, but it was needed because I always address my critics and I do it personally, biblically. And then I go, and if nothing is resolved, I call them out publicly. And I won't ever stop doing that. But next time, I hope General Goldberg actually does his due diligence and understands what he's talking about before he decides to mindlessly criticize someone because he did, he and use Media Matters essentially as a source because he repeated their talking points. Really quickly, Quick Five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Liberal, big progressive mega donors are planning a $100 million swing state blitz to beat President Trump, which everybody, a lot of that's going to be focused on trying to flip Texas, too. And we're going to talk about that later on this week. A CBS 46 photographer was attacked by Denny's employees during their report. This is from AJC.com, which is crazy, but that's what happened. It was employees at this particular restaurant decided to assault this reporter when they were there covering the story, but they have too many stupid pop-up ads. Yeah, so screw that. Stay with us. Stephen Yates is next.
Stream the podcasts. Tell your Amazon device, Alexa, play the Dana Show podcast.
Well, it's pretty serious. Now the number is over 400 rockets that we can validate have been fired. The Israelis have every right to defend themselves. I've seen video that we can't validate just yet, but where there have been strikes on homes, civilian populations. These rockets were fired with civilians around them in order to protect return fire. This is terrible. The Israelis have every right to protect the sovereignty of their nation, and I hope that we can return to the ceasefire that had been in place for weeks and had been holding significantly before this.
Yeah, that's a good point there by Mike Pompeo, who's discussing the latest with regards to all of the rockets that were fired over it, towards Israel, killing civilians, innocent people, and how Hamas, they purposefully will launch these from civilian areas. I was explaining it's like what Cersei Lannister is doing with in terms of keeping her power. She doesn't want Daenerys Targaryen and Jon Snow to attack the Red Keep and force her out of power. So she's loading up the Red Keep with all of the innocent civilians that live in King's Landing. They're using them as human shields. That's the exact same thing that Hamas does. And so there's, I don't know if it's a ceasefire or if it's a pause. There were over 700 some odd rockets fired at Israel. So I don't know if it's a legitimate ceasefire. It never is, because they've had ceasefires before and truces, and then Hamas starts all over again. Benjamin Netanyahu said that Israel hit terror groups back with great force and they're readying for the next round of fighting. Hamas says the conflict will not end until we regain our rights. What rights? You have every right. Maybe stop trying to kill people. On this and other issues, joining us, foreign policy expert Stephen Yates with the D.C. International Advisory. He previously advised former VP Dick Cheney. Always good to have you, Stephen. You know, it's always said, and it's almost cliched at this point, that if there were to be peace in the Middle East, all Hamas has to do is just stop bombing people, and that would take care of it. Israel wouldn't have to respond and to protect its own citizens.
Well, there's no question that when you have a terrorist organization, which they are, they have absolutely no standing to call for peace. They exist to use violence as a tool of political influence. And they do it all the time. And there's no piece of paper that's going to stop that necessarily. I admire people who try to engage in the politics and the diplomacy to try to bring about peace in that part of the world. But there is a fundamental imbalance on the direction the violence is aimed and executed. This is another reminder, too, about Iron Dome and missile defense, and everyone that was against that, voted against it, and doesn't support continued deployment of that. And American support for that in Israel is essentially endorsing more civilian casualties on the receiving end of groups like Hamas.
Right. And, of course, Iran involved as well, not just with Hamas, but also their jihad group in targeting Israel, which then brings up this thing that the point of what John Bolton had said. He used some pretty strong words just to essentially threaten Iran with, quote unquote, unrelenting force, because apparently there was information that Israel had passed to the United States about some alleged Iranian plot to attack our interests in the Gulf. And that's, and of course, resulted in John Bolton saying what he said. Do you think that there's legitimacy to such reports?
Oh, I do. Now, these are the kinds of things that have been talked about for a long time. So it would not necessarily be new news for something like this to be circulating through intelligence channels and getting leaked over to us. But I think that there's been a sense of the Iranian regime biding its time a bit and trying to pick times that might have more political weight. One of the concerns that I've had with a lot of our focus being on the China trade issues is that there might be a perception of the president being tied down in issues like that, and others that are up to no good in other regions would see an opportunity to push ahead. And Iran would be like one of those influencers. Same with Russia in the Middle East and its near abroad. So that remains a significant concern. But I totally take at face value what the Israelis are sharing by way of this broader regional objective to hit the United States and its allies and to push for what a friend of mine refers to their struggle for mastery over the greater Middle East. It's what they exist for as a civilization that's been overtaken by a theocratic movement.
Yeah, and the United States is sending an aircraft carrier group because it apparently in response to this warning of Iran and its proxies escalating, or at least showing signs of an escalation with any aggression against American forces in the region. Is this because it almost seems like every other couple of months we hear the U.S. having to sort of posture and respond to reports of possible escalation or any kind of, you know, plots from Iran and its proxies. But this, coupled with some of the stuff that we're hearing about, you know, with regards to the Gulf, is this unusual from a previous pattern, or I mean, how would you interpret them sending this carrier group?
Well, I think there's kind of two tracks. One is the usual diplomatic or global security biorhythm that kind of gets tense and retracts a little bit to regroup, and it operates on its own timing. And then there's somewhat the political cycle in the United States that as things are amping up towards which might be a gaming of the system or placing bets on whether they think the president's going to be elected, reelected, or replaced, trying to put pressure to influence the process or to try to seek advantage before things might change. So I think when we're looking at what's happening in the Middle East right now, it's not so much the political track right now. I think it's just the sense that that we have had some success in the anti-ISIS campaign, that we have a debate going on about where we go with Saudi Arabia and some of the conflicts there in their near abroad, like with Yemen. And I think that the Iranians somewhat see a moment of potential opportunity to push ahead. They had waited, perhaps, for the elections in Israel, and now it's clear that Bibi Netanyahu will remain. He has some domestic challenges to face, but he is, at the moment, the leader of a coalition that's going to remain in power. Now they want to try to plant their flag again. So I think it's driven by regional dynamics, not unusual, but Americans need to think about two things. What are we really prepared to do, and what assets do we have available? Our Navy is not at the level of power it should be. We've lost ground on that thanks to some weak policies of the past. But second, the president ran on a strategy of having regional powers and people in the countries themselves taking a lead on this. We talked about this last week with Venezuela, but the same things apply in principle to the broader Middle East. And so if we had extra carrier battle groups to deploy, how many can we deploy to how many different places? And number two, what are we doing to beef up the capabilities of allies and coalition partners to basically be able to deter the bad guys on their own so we don't have to ride to the rodeo every other week to try to deter these bad actors?
Yeah, no, that's a great point as well. And I think it also, in terms of the media coverage of this, I really do feel like anytime there's any sort of posturing which might seem typical of United States response where it concerns, you know, stuff in the Gulf or the Strait of Hormuz or whatever, I think the media is desperate to see the president get involved in numerous conflicts so that they can say he's a warmonger and use that against him going up into 2020. And I'm wondering, too, how much of that, because there's word that Russia's looking to gain great ground in Venezuela and, you know, establish some nuclear capacity there, which hasn't that always kind of been the talk in the Caribbean and in South America that and Latin America that Russia was trying to gain a toehold? I've heard this since I was a kid in the 80s.
Yeah, I'm always impressed with the Democratic Party's fixation on Cold War mentality. Usually, it's something they accuse us of, that commie governments like the Chinese try to impose upon us. But really, this is just a rehash of their version of this kind of crazy talk. I think one element of it that is true and troubling and needs more attention is the role that Cuba has been playing in this hemisphere for a long time, but especially in the Venezuela conflict. Russia clearly enabling, China clearly enabling, but Cuba has been their vehicle to influence the Venezuela situation. They do the same things in the Middle East. I mean, Iran gets used, some others get used from time to time. But we do have this great power struggle that doesn't stop. And it's borderline laughable to try to say that Donald Trump is a warmonger. He took basically criticism from even people like me as during parts of the campaign where it sounded like he was questioning some of the post 9/11 policies, which, you know, in fairness, I think things should be questioned, but he's far from the cloth of a warmonger. It's just crazy talk. But the bad actors of the world don't ever stop. They don't sleep. They have resources. They're not constrained by democratic forces in their country. And that threat is real. So I think we're making some progress. I think the president invested with the help of Congress when it got its act together to bolster reinvestment in our military capabilities. But we still have a long way to go. The Chinese have been running at light speed for a couple of decades now, and that has an effect. And then these other bad powers of Russia and Iran collaborating with willing supplicants in our hemisphere just make it worse.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Goodness. That's just it'll be interesting to see how all of this unfolds and how much worse, how these other foreign entities are going to take advantage of this as we lumber on towards 2020. Stephen Yates at Yates DCIA on Twitter. Always so appreciate your expert perspective on all of this. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Of course. We have Today in Stupidity on the way still as well, so you don't want to miss that. In the meantime, if you want to increase your focus and your stamina and really your energy, you should check out Superbeats. It's a highly concentrated, scientifically formulated solution that supports healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. It contains the dietary nitrate equivalent of 3 beets. It's clinically researched. It helps your body produce more nitric oxide, which in turn makes your arteries wider and more flexible so that more oxygen and nutrients can actually flow through, leaving you with more natural energy. It's great for your cardiovascular health, and it boosts those nitric oxide levels. It's critical to healthy blood pressure levels, so you should definitely check it out. Try Superbeats risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeats.com to get this offer, and you will also get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats with your first order at danasbeats.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617 today.
If you make a mistake or don't quite hit the mark, does that mean you're a bad person? Pastor Alan Jackson doesn't think so.
One of my favorite parts of the Bible is that all of our heroes have flaws. And there's nobody in there that the story's not told about.
Yeah.
And when I hear Christians stand up, because I've been married 63 years and I've never been mad at my wife, I think either, well, you're too stupid to be aware or you're lying to me, because life comes with challenges.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
To hear today's full show, subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on your device to catch anything you may have missed.
So a Democrat state representative, a guy named Brian Sims, some people are questioning whether or not he broke the law by videotaping and harassing an elderly woman who was simply standing there and engaged in free speech. She's a pro-life elderly woman, and he decided to try to get in her face with his phone and record her and harass her. Listen to this.
Hi, everyone. Representative Brian Sims here, and I'm once again out in front of Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania. It's not only in my district, it's the most heavily protested Planned Parenthood, I believe, in the country. And today's protester, now, she is an old white lady who's going to try to avoid showing you her face. But the same laws, luckily, that protect her from being out here also protect me from showing you who she is. And so my hope is that you'll donate $100 for every extra hour that this woman is out here telling people what's right for their bodies. So I have a couple questions for you, ma'am. How many children have you clothed today? I'm sorry, I missed your answer. How many children have you clothed today?
He's worried about her clothing.
How about
children.
How many children have you put shoes on their feet today?
How many people have you
Have you fed any children today, or have you just stood out in front of a Planned Parenthood shaming people for something that they have a constitutional right to do?
She's silently holding us up.
Huh? If you're here about the children, you can pray at home for children. It's probably the same place that you could feed a child, but you're not. Instead, you're out here shaming people for something that they have a constitutional right to do. Who would have thought that an old white lady would be out in front of a Planned Parenthood telling people what's right for their bodies? Shame on you. Shame on you for hiding your face at the same time that you're shaming other people.
That's all she had.
Again, the same laws that protect me protect you, and that's okay. You're allowed to be out here. That doesn't mean that you have a moral right to be out here.
He harassed her for 10 minutes, this guy. He's a sexist. Brian Sims is a sexist. He's from Pennsylvania, at Brian Sims, PA, is who he is on Twitter. He decided to target this elderly woman who was just simply standing there with a little pink sign across the street, wasn't bothering anyone. And he's like out of breath. Either he needs to do more cardio or he got himself so wound up, because these people are deranged. Whenever they come across someone who thinks differently from them, they've never been taught how to handle difference of opinion. And so they get worked up to the point where it's like they're dangerous. This guy to me seems dangerous. Brian Sims seems dangerous to me because he keeps trying to get into this elderly woman's face, and he's so worked up. He's literally breathless. He's entirely worked up, and he will not leave her alone. It is creepy. Creepy.
Well, here's the thing. He said it's in his district, right? So apparently he doesn't represent everyone in his district. Is that what he's essentially saying?
Yes.
So yeah, that to me is dangerous. When you're a voted representative, you're supposed to represent 100% of your constituents in your district.
Well, some are asking whether or not he violated law. There's a piece over at Town Hall that said Americans have the right to record protesters in Pennsylvania, but the state also has a strict two-party consent state, meaning that even in public, both parties must consent to be recorded. And at various points in the video, she says no and does not give permission to record, and he still harasses her. He calls her old. He calls her this old white lady. He shames her for her age. He shames her for her body. And he's really, we didn't even play the whole thing for you. It's like 10 minutes long. It is so uncomfortable, his fixation with her. This is, you know, stuff like this is why women, you know, this is why a lot of women want to make sure that they can, you know, carry for their own protection when they go out in public, because this is that he's unhinged. That is not the behavior of someone who is well. It isn't. That's the behavior of someone who is so sick with hate. I mean, he's actually breathless. So in the ACLU said of Pennsylvania, quote, you have the right to capture images in public places, but you don't always have the right to record what people say. Pennsylvania's wiretap law makes it illegal to record private conversations, which can include conversations in public places, without the consent of all parties to the conversation, end quote. So I don't know if that extends to protesters in a public place or not. But I mean, she was leaving. She wasn't saying anything. Apparently, she had been there silently from some other reports, and he just could not handle the sight of her. Horrible. Today in stupidity, what do we got?
Well, that could have been it.
Yeah.
Right there. But it's actually going to be Tom Arnold today. We enjoyed this audio earlier. Tom Arnold would endorse a Nazi over Trump, which is confusing because he's called Trump a Nazi, so he would vote for a Nazi over a Nazi.
That's kind of how it goes, yeah. Yeah, it kind of goes
that way. A white person?
Yes.
Has there ever been a white person to run for president? It'd be the first white person, am I right?
No, I'm saying...
Well, he's funny.
I'm saying at this point in time, would you be cool endorsing a white person? Does it need to be someone intersectional?
Like,
would
you go against Trump?
Yeah.
I'm going to endorse a Nazi against Trump.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There it is. All that intelligence in the...
Yeah, there you go. Isn't
package.
That lovely? Tomorrow, we have a lot. Because apparently that same legislator that we just talked about, that Brian Sims, he tried to dox pro-life teenagers and told the public, he offered them $100 to identify four pro-life kids who were just silently, peacefully praying outside of Planned Parenthood. So he went after our minors, too. Wow, this guy is so creepy. We'll have more on that tomorrow. Have a great night.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.